Hi everyone, and welcome to this next instalment of the Warwick Chemistry Pathways podcast. In this episode, we're talking about exam wellbeing and the resources that are available to students who may require some support through the busy exam season ahead. Joining me today is Tom Ritchie and University Wellbeing Advisor Sarah Parkinson. Hi both.
Hi.
Hi everyone.
So Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Could we start by you telling us a little bit more about yourself, what your role is in wellbeing and what kind of service that you offer the students?
Yeah, sure. So I'm one of a team of wellbeing advisors and we're based within wellbeing and student support. So that's a central service. At the last count, I think there's 9 of us. So we're all health and social care professionals and we've all worked in and around the higher education sector for some time. And we're made up of social workers, occupational therapists, CBT therapists as well. So it's a multidisciplinary team. And we tend to be the first point of contact for students who want to access any of the wellbeing support services. So we're the people that students will meet when they first come into the service, and which is through a brief consultation. So students can come along for a brief consultation to talk to us about any practical or emotional issues that they might be experiencing. And it's our role to find out a bit more about what students need, provide initial advice and signposting, or perhaps refer on for an appointment or to one of our other services. So in terms of what those other services might be, we have a disability services team, a therapy team. We also have mental health nurses as well, and our sexual and domestic abuse advisor. So it could be that we direct you to services outside of the uni. It just depends what you need. So in order to come and talk to us, there's no need to book an appointment. Just come along, either come online or in person at Senate House between 10 and 3 every working day. So that's kind of one side of what we do. We do also offer one-to-one sessions, and our focus is very much about working with students to identify really practical strategies to help manage any practical or emotional issues that they might be experiencing. Also, not just here for when things go wrong. So we also deliver skills sessions and we carry out outreach work as well within departments. And our aim is to really help students to develop the skills that they need to take care of their own well-being, not just while they're at uni, but also beyond as well. So obviously, students come to uni to gain their qualifications and enjoy everything that uni has to offer. But it's also a really good time to learn how to manage things like your own well-being, stress and anxiety, how to manage low mood, cope with change, all those things that life throws at us. And yeah, it's a great time to learn about those things while you're here. And we are here to help you to do that.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. I think it's really interesting to hear about what the university has to offer. And I think one of the things that we really try to do in chemistry is that there's a lot of discussion. We had an email actually come in today about what are you doing on World Mental Health Day on the 9th of March? And Adam and I kind of looked at each other and said, we don't have anything specific for that day, but actually we look at our program and we've kind of extended that across the year. So we listed everything that we've done. And I think we're really pleased that in chemistry, we've tried to put on a lot of different events and initiatives that help students with mental health and well-being, you know, ranging from sessions to help them get used to what these exams are going to be. We know that's a big issue for our students currently, and we've got more of that to come, to animal therapy sessions that we've run, to pumpkin carving and kind of everything in between. And I think we've really tried to take that approach of that mental health and wellbeing, it's about that kind of wider experience as well, and that everything contributes.
Thanks both. That's really interesting. Thanks for taking the time to explain what you do, Sarah. I'm just thinking, in your experience, could you talk about what you've found to be the main stresses that students face? And are there any techniques or anything that students can do to help manage their stress?
Sure, yes. Hopefully, university is a really positive experience for students. But like anything, it does come with its stresses. So when we're thinking about student stress, the most obvious stress is around deadlines, assessments, managing academic workloads. But there's also lots of other factors of university life, navigating new social and academic environments, managing finances. There's all the extracurricular stuff as well that students do. There's internships. For some students, they're juggling family responsibilities. And for other students, it's being away from home that they find stressful. So it can be that sometimes in life, you're doing exactly what you want to be doing, but it's still pretty stressful. And there's also the stress as well that we tend to place on ourselves. So it's not just the external stresses, but it's our own internal stresses as well. So that's things like wanting to be perfect, not wanting to fail, being university liked. Sometimes we can set ourselves really unreasonably high expectations, and those can also be a source of stress. In terms of managing stress, I think the first thing is really to be aware of stress and take notice of it. So fundamentally, when we talk about stress and being stressed, what I think we're really talking about is when the demands on us, the pressures that are on us, outweigh our resources. And a good starting point is to recognise how our stress can affect us. There's a really well-evidenced link between stress and productivity. So it's not possible for us to eliminate all stress from our life. But at times of really low stress, that can correlate with low productivity. And it might be because we're on vacation or we're resting, which is totally fine. But when we're not under much stress, we tend to have fairly low productivity. And sometimes if we're under low stress and we're not being challenged, we can be bored, we've got little incentive to work. So it can be a negative thing. So in life, what we want is really to have just the right amount of stress, so we feel challenged, but not overwhelmed. And this tends to be where we're really working at our optimal effectiveness and we're feeling really focused. But what can happen is that if we're under too much pressure, we can start to struggle, we find it difficult to focus, and our productivity drops. And ultimately, if we don't change things and make some adjustments, we can then tip over into burnout, which is where we feel really overwhelmed and like we can't do the things we need to do. And being aware of this and checking in with ourselves to see what our stress levels are like from time to time is a really important thing to do, because when we're consistently stressed, it can be really difficult to see our own stress rationally. And this can start to look like where we're working longer and longer hours because our productivity is dropping, so we're trying to compensate. Whereas what we really need to do to be more productive is to reduce our stress, release it, so then we can go back to feeling kind of okay and functioning well. So that would be, I suppose, my first tip. Actually think about stress, think about where you are, recognize it when it starts to happen. And if you find yourself, as I say, long unproductive hours, question, is this because I'm really stressed? In fact, I need to do less. Also recognizing that your stress levels are rising before they escalate is a really important skill. And for most of us, we don't go from being calm and relaxed to incredibly stressed overnight. And there's usually signs that our stress levels are rising and that we're not doing the things perhaps that we would normally do to help with our stress. So it tends to be things like we might have stopped doing stuff that we normally do, like playing sport, seeing friends, doing hobbies, doing things like smoking, drinking excessively, eating too many biscuits. It can also be a sign as well that our stress levels are rising. So really watching out for those signs. If they sometimes creep up on us and we don't realise they're happening. But again, it's part of checking in and managing your stress. So the next tip would also be taking care of yourself. And these are all the things that we know we should do, but we don't always do. So eating regularly, sleeping, taking exercise, taking time out to relax. These are the key foundation things that we need to do, but they're also the things that tend to slip when we're really busy and under a lot of stress. And that's when we can get into a real cycle of stress. It can be helpful if you're struggling to actually look at those things and think, okay, is there anything that needs adjusting? So next stress tip would be not overcommitting yourself and learning to say no. So learning to say no is really a really useful technique in life. And it's one that I think a lot of us I don't know about you, but I think a lot of us find it quite difficult. But it's really good for establishing healthy boundaries, I would say. And it does give others the clarity about what they can expect from you. And it also, when you say no to things that are unreasonable, it does also add to the value of when you say yes. So it might be something that you need to recognise. You find it hard to say no, it's something that you can work on. Another really practical strategy that students often report works well in terms of managing stress is scheduling your time and using a planner to break down and schedule tasks. And again, this is one of those things that we probably heard before and advice that people have given us, but we don't always follow. But in fact, scheduling stuff rather than having a big amorphous pile of things that you have to get through can really help you to feel more in control and help if you're feeling overwhelmed as well. And it's important to schedule things that are outside of work, so times when you're going to relax, times when you're going to switch off as well. And I think that's what the feedback that we sometimes get is that people worry if their schedule slips. It makes them feel like they failed and they just throw the whole schedule out. But having a schedule is partly about being flexible as well and moving things around within that schedule. But that's something that can really help. Other things that can help us to manage our stress is actually to have our support network. So identify who the people are that help us to feel less stressed or help us to bear some of our burden and stay connected with them. So these might be friends or family. It might be study groups. There's also lots of services at the uni. There's obviously the wellbeing program that you run in your department, which is a lot of those are really, really fantastic opportunities, I think, as well to learn more about managing your stress and also just allowing yourself to have some time out and do things that are fun and help you to meet other people. The final tip that I would give you as well is really not having to be perfect and recognizing when you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. I think we're all really used to being measured, and in terms of things like, you know, exam results. And it's not surprising that we do set ourselves targets and compare ourselves to other people. But again, that's something to be aware of, that a lot of the time when we are putting ourselves under this kind of pressure, it's actually really unhelpful. So I think that the message is that stress is unavoidable, and in some ways it can be quite good for us. But if it actually starts to get in the way of what we need to do or what we want to do, that is perhaps time to make some adjustments.
I think that's really interesting, because as someone who's in their 30s, I listen to a lot of what you just said, I'm still not very good at that. I still hold myself to too high a standard. I still don't say no. You know, I still focus on, you know, I myself get stressed. And I think what's really interesting and almost useful for students to know as well is that you're not going to figure this out in your 20s. It takes a lot of time and a lot of practice to be able to really come to manage your stress. You think that you're going to have it all figured out, but it's always quite difficult to get to that point. So thank you.
So I think it's really important that we can resonate with the advice that we're giving, because I recognise a lot of what you've said, and being in my 40s and being a working professional, I'm like, you know what, actually, there's a lot of things in this toolkit that apply past university and that you need to apply in the workplace as well in order to succeed, because we do hold ourselves to account. We have high standards. We still think, we still search for perfectionism. So it's really important that we know and have those tools to equip us past university into kind of working life, that they still have a place and still have a value. It's not something that goes away, and it's a marathon, not a sprint, I guess, finding the solutions to a lot of these issues.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely right. And I don't know if we ever get to a stage in our lives when we think, I've got this absolutely sorted. But what I hope that people can do while they're at uni is start to learn these techniques. And there are techniques and strategies, and not learn them the hard way. And I think what you said about, as well, applying things in the workplace, taking care of your well-being, and that includes things like managing stress, managing anxiety, is a really important professional skill. And I think what you find in the workplace is that most people are really well qualified for their jobs. They've been through interviews, they're keen, they want to do well. But what too often gets in the way is actually managing their stress. And that can be really what prevents them from working at their best and also from enjoying themselves, you know, and having a good work-life balance. And the other thing that I'll just add to that is that I think this is a particular risk in some ways for people who are really bright and really hardworking and have really high standards. All those things are fantastic. It's great and it gets you to where you want to be, but it can sometimes make you susceptible to placing excessively high standards on yourself.
I agree. Everything you're saying, I'm sitting here just going, yeah, I do that.
I feel incredibly seen is all I'll say at this point.
Yeah. I think one of the most important things for me in terms of dealing with stress is having a really strong network around you. So if we talk about it in a work context, Adam, I hope it's okay to say, but I think you and I are each other's support network at work. We talk every day, we share how things are going, we share frustrations, we share wins. And I think, you know, my own advice from my own experience would be try to have that network of either people who are going through the same things or on the course, or just friends and family and others who you can have that moment of, do you know what, today didn't go so well and I'm just going to vent for a few seconds, because it just, that helps, that always feels like that helps when you can do that with people. And I think there's that sense, I think, a lot of the time that you're the only one feeling it, and actually everyone feels it in a different way, and it's okay to talk about it and okay to share. And I think it's just important for people to realize that they're not alone, you know, amongst friendship groups and family, but also, again, just taking it back to We Are Chemistry, as I always tend to do, the whole point of We Are Chemistry is that kind of consistent weekly, we're here, come and talk to us, come and let us know how it's going. And that, you know, I think works out quite well. But yeah, just to really remind our listeners of that you're not alone in this. You know, the majority of us would have been through a similar set of experiences before, and we're happy to talk about it and share advice and you know, not formal advice, probably very careful to say that, but to share our own kind of advice and then be able to signpost you on to extra support if it's needed.
Thank you both. That's really useful. I know we have exams coming up and there's lots of anxiety amongst our student community. Is there any guidance or advice you can offer to those that are heading into exam season?
Yeah, I think when we're under a lot of pressure, like when we've got exams coming up, that can be a time when we actually stop taking care of ourselves and stop doing the stuff that we normally do, which keeps us feeling okay and functioning well. So it's really easy during exam time and the run up to exam time to just focus exclusively on work. And I think that would be a key piece of advice that I'd give students. Obviously, your exams are your priority at the current time, but do other stuff as well. Keep that stress managed. What can tend to happen is that when we're feeling consistently stressed, our brain starts to perceive that we're under threat and our flight or fight anxiety response is triggered. So if we're not relieving our stress, we can then become more anxious. And that isn't brilliant for when we're studying and we want to do well in exams. It's perfectly natural and normal to feel anxious before exams, and most people will experience that. But when it gets to the stage where it's actually impacting on our ability to study and our performance, that's when we need to think about it and make some changes. So what I would suggest with exams is keep doing the stuff that you would normally do, seeing friends, playing sport, prioritise your sleep, particularly sleep. Sleep's really important for our memory, and it's also has a key role in preparing our brains to absorb new information. So it's really important for study. So don't be tempted to stay up all night working. Prioritise your sleep. The chances are that you'll perform better in your exam than if you'd stayed up all night trying to cram more information in when you should be sleeping. I talked about scheduling before, and I think as you approach exams as well, that is a time when scheduling is really helpful, because it does help you to feel less overwhelmed. And it's particularly important to have a time when you stop working as well. Give yourself some time to wind down. We see lots of students who struggle to sleep before exams. And part of it is that they'll be working till 1 o'clock in the morning, then they'll try to sleep immediately. but you're too wired really to switch off and go to sleep. So allow yourself some time. This stuff isn't going to detract from your work, from your studies. It's really essential that you do it to be working at your best. The other thing that I would suggest is that you actually practice managing your anxiety response. So when you start to feel anxious, and for a lot of us, anxiety can be manifest itself as anxious thoughts, unhelpful. We tend to catastrophize about things that might happen. We can also get physical symptoms of anxiety as well. So butterflies in our stomachs, increased heart rates. It's really helpful to practice things like breathing exercises, positive self-talk, to help to switch that anxiety response off when it happens. And that's really useful, particularly when you're in an exam. What you don't want to do is listen too much to the voice in your head, which says, I can't do this, I haven't studied enough, I should have stayed up till 5 o'clock in the morning studying, because those things just tend to make us feel more frightened, more anxious, and they get in the way of that higher level thinking that we want to pull out for the exam. But the thing about anxiety and stress is that we can totally do stuff about it. This is something that we can control. We can't eliminate it, but we can get it much more manageable. What I would finally say as well about exams is, after you've done your exam, don't dwell on it. It's very rare that we come out of an exam or a situation and we think, wow, I was fantastic. We're much more likely, and I think this goes for life in general, we're much more likely to focus on things that we wish we'd done differently. We don't tend to spend hours ruminating about all the fantastic things we've done in our lives. It tends to be the things that we kind of wish we hadn't done or that wouldn't go so well. And that's just, you know, that's just natural. And we do it more when we're under a lot of stress. So afterwards, don't think about the exam. Do something else. Go for a walk. Chat to mates. Allow yourself some time off. And then you'll be better prepared to face the next one.
Perfect. Thank you for sharing that. So many useful tips. And I can completely relate to the post-mortem feeling as well. We absolutely dwell on the negatives when we should really be focusing on just how much we have actually achieved. That's great. At the start of the podcast, you mentioned that disability services are part of the wellbeing and student services. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes. So if students have a disability, a learning difference, or a long-term condition that impacts on their ability to engage with their studies, the disability services team can put reasonable adjustments in place to help them engage with their course. So if students haven't registered with the disability services team, it's a good idea to do that. And they can also put in place reasonable adjustments for exams. There is a deadline for requesting reasonable adjustments if you need them. And that's the 2nd of March at 4 p.m. It's quite an exact deadline there. But it's best to get in touch earlier. So the sooner the better. If you feel that you're going to need some adjustments to support you in exams, get in touch with them earlier. The disability services team can also support students with adjustments if students are awaiting diagnoses. So, for example, in the case of students who are awaiting a diagnosis of D or ADHD, we know how long those diagnoses can take. So in the meantime, disability services can still put reasonable adjustments in place if they're needed.
That's great. Thank you. So is there anything that Wellbeing and Student Support Services are doing specifically on the run-up to exams?
The Wellbeing website has lots of advice about managing exam stress and anxiety. And from the Easter vacation, we also offer an exam and deadline stress masterclass. So that's a 30-minute online session on Tuesdays and Fridays. And that has lots of tips and strategies for helping to manage exam stress and feel okay and function well through that time. If students have got any specific concerns, again, come and talk to us in Wellbeing Support. As I said, you can access a brief consultation between 10 and 3, Monday to Friday. So we also run a Steps to Wellbeing programme, which aims to give you the skills to take care of yourself and your wellbeing while at uni and beyond. So that's a 5-week rolling programme, and you can join us online or in person at Senate House. And it covers 5 key areas. So we have managing stress and anxiety, productivity and work-life balance, boosting low mood, sleep and relaxation, and managing uncertainty. And those tend to be the themes that we quite often see students with.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And I've also seen that there's an understanding wellbeing module run by Atul. And it's not for cats, but I know it's something that allows you to kind of engage with your own wellbeing journey and learn a bit more about what tools there are and what things you can do to feel better and to kind of have a better experience whilst at university and beyond. You know, we've been talking a lot about developing tools and developing skill sets as part of this whole process of overcoming anxiety. And I think I have seen the module and I just wanted to mention it before we finish, because I think it's really interesting, this the understanding wellbeing module. We'll put some links actually on the website for it, maybe in the blurb for the podcast if people are interested in it, because it goes on the Warwick Award, you know, it's accredited for the HEAR, and I think it's just a really interesting and slightly different way of looking at your own wellbeing.
Thank you both for your time today. It's been incredibly insightful, and I know our students will find the information we've chatted about really useful. We'll pop the links to wellbeing on our social media and in the next student newsletter as well, so keep your eyes peeled. Thanks again, and we'll see you all again at the next episode. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.